side hustle, freelancing, contract work. More people are now turning to these types of jobs, also known as the gig economy. And in the future, it could become the norm. WBUR's Ininjor and Wemeka reports this morning for our Bostonomics series called The Future of Work.
28-year-old Aaron Ennis used to help run a computer center in Dorchester, where he lives. He made about $35,000 a year. Now, he makes double that by doing gigs. Like this handiwork in Newton.
So do you have an idea of exactly where you want it?
I don't. I know I want it centered, you know, between the wall.
Homeowner Ifat Karp hired Aaron through TaskRabbit to hang a few paintings and a mirror.
So you want it centered on the full wall?
I think so, between this little thing.
What I've learned through doing these is that I prefer to just kind of do my own thing, be able to meet different people, have different experiences.
Aaron Ennis is kind of a super gig guy. He's done Uber, Lyft, Airbnb, but TaskRabbit, which people used to find handiworkers, is now his main gig.
Well, I like to use the phrase, TaskRabbit is my primary source of income. I don't work a full 40 hours a week in most weeks, but it is definitely like the thing that I make the majority of my money from.
He's part of a new wave of the gig economy that's mostly done through tech platforms. And he's pretty successful at it. 2 years ago, when he did gigs through multiple companies, he cleared $100,000.
I ended up making six figures that year. Just barely, but I made it.
The gig economy is booming, so much so that there's a class about it at Babson College.
The world of work is changing. The gig economy is here. It's here to stay.
Diane Mulcahy has taught this class for 5 years. And it's not just about tech platforms. That's less than 1% of the gig economy. The gig economy is mostly freelancers, contractors, and part-time workers. Mulcahy says that's because companies now offer fewer full-time jobs.
So if you look at our most highly valued and high-growth companies out in Silicon Valley, Facebook, Dropbox, Twilio, Twitter, they're not creating full-time jobs at the same rate as, let's say, you know, the old GEs of the day, where they have 300,000 full-time employees.
Gig work is also on the rise because people like the flexibility, and technology has made it easier to connect people to jobs. But not everyone makes as much as Aaron Ennis, the handyman. According to a recent estimate, most people doing gigs through tech platforms make less than $500 a month on average. And even with Aaron's well-paying gigs, he's had to worry about healthcare.
I actually broke my collarbone a couple years ago and had to pay for the medical stuff out of pocket. So doctor visits, x-rays, and all that kind of stuff.
Gig work does lack benefits. Harvard economist Larry Katz has studied the gig economy. He says labor laws need to change so gig workers can access benefits.
If you're a Hollywood superstar, a great athlete, being able to be on the competitive market and bargain for yourself if you have an agent, it's great. It's not so clear that's so great if you're highly substitutable to other workers as a janitor or a food service worker or even a physical therapist.
This is crucial because gig work represents a huge part of employment growth. Kat says between 2005 and 2015, over 90% of net employment growth in the U.S. was in the gig economy. There are some health benefits available under the Affordable Care Act, and there are efforts underway to give gig workers a safety net. There's legislation in Congress, and a few states have bills of their own, but not Massachusetts. Diane Mulcahy, who teaches that class on the gig economy, says these efforts just put a Band-Aid on a broken system.
I mean, if you look at our labor market, it's very clear that it's set up to essentially penalize anybody that doesn't have a full-time job.
Mulcahy knows this well because she herself is a gig worker. She's an adjunct lecturer at Babson College. She's also written books and does consulting work. And Mulcahy thinks it's more of a risk to have a full-time job.
There is no such thing as job security anymore.
She says that's because an employer can fire you or outsource you at any time. So Mulcahy says what's really needed is a good hard look at the entire structure of our labor market. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Zininjor and Wemeka.